Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Raging Bull swings off the rail. Field Pass will try to go with that one. Dalrain behind them. Sacred Life is trying to move out toward the center of the course. Still 5 lengths from the lead. Ride of Comet's going to be coming late on the grandstand side. Raging Bull the leader. Final furlong, Maker's Mark Mile. Ride of Comet far outside. Raging Bull has the lead. Hit the Road comes up the inside. Raging Bull is in front. Ride of Comet, Sacred Life. Raging Bull in front by two. Ride of Comet second down to the wire. Raging Bull and Iran Ortiz Jr. to win the Maker's Mark Mile, 1:33.86.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile in Saratoga. Bobby Newman's in Altoona, Iowa, getting ready for the Prairie Meadows Friday night card. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. We got 14 stakes for you from across the country and north of the water in Canada. Bobby, ready for a fun-filled Friday evening of stakes action across the country and Canada this weekend?
I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm ready for it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a little bittersweet because in this program, probably for the final time, we will be analyzing stake races, those Arlington Million, Beverly D, whatever you want to call them, races that they're called this year at Arlington. It's probably our last time looking at those races.
Yeah, that Arlington Million Festival looks like it's coming to an end out in the Chicagoland area. They'll go out with a bang, 4 graded stakes, including 3 grade ones. We'll talk about all of those. Plenty of action up at the old Spa, out at Woodbine, Del Mar as well, Ellis Park. Has some 3-year-old races as well. Play them all over at NairaBets.com. Head over to open an account. The promo code's HRRN200. Deposit match of up to $200 in the first 2 weeks. Head to NairaBets.com for more details. The Run Happy Travers Bankroll Builder continues tomorrow. Bet $50 to win on a horse in the 4-Star Dave. That's the feature on the Saturday Saratoga card. 11 race card starts at 105. 50 or more, win or lose, you get $20 back for Run Happy Travers. If you take part in all 6 races, there'll be $120 waiting for you for that Run Happy Travers 2 weeks from tomorrow on Saturday, August 28th. All right, let's get into it. We got 14 races. We'll start at the Spa. The Saratoga Special is a grade 2, 6.5 furlongs on the main track. It's for the 2-year-olds. See if any of them make their way to the hopeful closing weekend, Labor Day weekend. Field of 12, Dr. Jeff, the number 8, impressive maiden winner in an off-the-turf race for Rudy Rodriguez and Joel Rosario, who's back. Your 2-1 morning line favorite.
And I think that's he's the right favorite in this spot. He was expected to run well in his debut, bet down to 6-5 that day in the race that came off the turf. And he won very, very easily. He won by a little over 2 lengths, but he was really, the comment says geared down, and he was geared down. He could have won by more than that. Very impressive run by the son of Street Boss. Looks like he's working well since that race, including a bullet work back on August 8th at Saratoga. I'm not sure that he has to have the lead just because he went to the lead in his debut, and there is other speed in here, but I do know this. A repeat of that race makes him the one to beat, and he may be better second time out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more here. I thought this horse was going to be the goods on Saturday. He just ran so well. And you know something, Bobby? For a race loaded with 2-year-olds, there's no speed. There's not a lot of fast horses early in here. He is. He's fast early. I couldn't get past Dr. Jeff. I thought a horse like High Oak could be okay. It looks like he's going to want more ground for Bill Mott and Junior Alvarado. I would use him in some exactas. I would use Gunite as well, the number 2. The blinkers go on for the son of Gunrunner for Steve Asmussen. It took him 3 starts to break his maiden, but when he did, he took a big speed figure jump, 19 points if you use the buyer scale. So those would be the 3 for me, with the top pick certainly to be number 8. Dr. Jeff, race number 9, goes as the grade 2 Saratoga Special. 4-Star Dave. 4-Star Dave, the Sultan of Saratoga. He won a race up here for 8 consecutive years, from 1987 to 1994. 4-Star Dave Way, right outside the track, over by the Populous Heroes Bar. Everybody knows the Sultan of Saratoga is in Saratoga. He won this race three times. It was the Darrell's Joy back then. They renamed it for him. The year they renamed it for him, Leo O'Brien jokingly nominated him to it. Dave was still on the grounds as a bit of a stable pony. He liked to jump the practice steeplechase hurdles when he was racing. So Leo kept him around. Howard Battle came up from Keeneland and was the special one meet racing secretary. And he did not take kindly to Leo nominating four-star Dave to the race named after him. It was pretty funny. A field of eight. This is an interesting field, Bobby. Three mares in here. Got Stormy, who won this race back in 2019. You got the Speedy Blowout and Longshot Daddy is a legend. They'll all take on the 9-5 morning line favorite, the Bull, Raging Bull from the rail for Chad Brown and Gerard Ortiz Jr.
Well, it's an interesting race to handicap. I firmly believe Raging Bull is the best horse in the race, but he doesn't always win even when he looks like the best horse in the race. He had every chance last time out. He could not beat the mare Alexandra going the mile over at Belmont in the poker. Now, he has won two of his four starts on the turf at Saratoga. Interestingly enough, the two races he didn't win were the last two editions of the four-star Dave, where he was beaten at odds of 5-2 each time. In fact, he really wasn't very close last year at all. And then the year before, he ran second to God Stormy, but he was, I think he was somewhere like 15, 16 lengths back early on and just simply couldn't make up that much ground. I don't know why he was that far back. He should get a nice ground-saving trip. His good races make him the one to beat. I put him on top, but the strange thing with this horse is, for a horse that's won seven times, I really don't trust him to make a gigantic punch on him.
So I think the problem is, and this happened the past few years, the rails come down on the inner turf course this week. And more often than not, that doesn't bode well for a horse like him because he hasn't had a lot of speed. Now, I don't know what's happened in his six-year-old year, but he has been much, much closer to the pace than he has ever been. In fact, he's been closer to faster paces than he ever has been in his career. So I think when you take that into consideration, it kind of negates. You know, I almost feel like this horse is a little bit of a different horse, even though he's 6 years old. It's going to be hard to get past the Bull. Casa Creed scratched out of the stakes race last week, going 5.5 because of the 12 hole. He'll go back to the mile. He's much better at the shorter distances, but he ran third in this race last year when it was a bit of a merry-go-round race behind Halliday and Got Stormy. So we'll see if he can improve. And I'll tell you what, Blowout's fast, and Blowout's going to be in front of these horses. Now, she's never taken on the boys. You know, she's never missed the board against the girls. She's 4 wins, 7 seconds, and a 3rd. And a 7 seconds is a problem. She's gotten beat a half length ahead, a half length, 3/4 of a length, a neck, and a nose. She's never gotten beat a length. Even when she was third, she got beat a neck. I mean, you want to talk about hard luck. They don't get more hard luck than Blowout. I'll say this. She's gone on the front end. There's no one in here that can come anywhere close to her early speed. Maybe God Stormy had it at one point in her career. She does not have that speed anymore. I know Whisper Not seems a little fast, but I can't imagine if Blowout comes flying out of there, anybody's going to go on a suicide mission. So I would use Blowout as well, but it was hard for me to get past the Bull. Raging Bull, race 10, goes as the grade 1, 4-star Dave. Over at Woodbine, the Greenwood goes as race number 8 on the Saturday card. 7 furlongs on the big course, the outer turf course. We have a field of 7 3-year-olds.
We do, and it's the return to the turf of number 2, Gretzky the Great, from Mark Cassie and Kaz Kimura. Kaz Kimura winning races seemingly every day during this Woodbine meet. And Gretzky the Great started his career with Kimura as his regular rider and looked like a horse with a serious future last year, especially with those races at Woodbine on the turf. Impressive win of the Grade 1 Summer Stakes last year. They liked him so much last year that they tried to make him into a Kentucky Derby horse this year and went the Turfway Park route. And to me, he's just not quite as good on the synthetic tracks of Woodbine and Turfway as he is on the turf. Well, he's had a little bit of time out for Hall of Famer Mark Cassie now. He gets back to what I think is his preferred surface. And you know what? I think he may be more of a one-turn horse than a two-turn horse. I know he's not going to be a big price. By the way, he gets Lasix back again, which he's always run well with Lasix. All that adds up to, I think, a much better effort from Gretzky the Great, and I think he gets back to his winning ways in the Greenwood.
I think it's him, or I think it's the five, my top pick country final, making his first start since October, since November, rather. He broke his maiden first time out on the turf. He then ran in a Grade 3 on the dirt. He won the Tyro off the turf. He ran on soft ground at Kentucky Downs. He got beat just a length and a half in the Futurity on the turf at Belmont. He got beat less than four lengths in the Breeders' Cup. We haven't seen him for a while. He's a fresh gelding. For Steve Asmussen, I'm going to try the number five country final. It's for me, it's him and Gretzky the Great. Race number eight goes as the Greenwood. We'll come back to both Saratoga and Woodbine on Sunday. For now, we'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll bring you the Blood Horse News update, and we will bring you all four graded stakes from Arlington for what could be the final time. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
This year, the fans choose the finalists. Coming this August, for the first time ever, the fans pick the finalists in four 2021 America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards categories. Favorite racing TV personality, racetrack food, podcast or radio show, and favorite smaller circuit racetrack. Get ready to be heard and to vote on americasbestracing.net.
The 86th running of the Grade 3 Long Acres Mile is this Sunday, August 15th at Emerald Downs. Post time is 5:46 Pacific Time. It's the biggest race in the Pacific Northwest, and this year's field includes 2019 runner-up, Any Port in a Storm, last year's second-place finisher, Five-Star General, and the speedy local star, Papa's Golden Boy. It should be a great betting race, and remember that all superfectas at Emerald Downs have just a 15% takeout. Don't miss the Long Acres Mile this Sunday from Emerald Downs.
Woodbine is gearing up for its biggest day of racing on Sunday, August 22nd, with the 162nd Queen's Plate, a day full of the best in Canadian thoroughbred racing, great fashion, amazing food, and loads of fun. And with Woodbine welcoming fans back with limited capacity, you will want to call today to reserve your seat. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit Woodbine.com. That's Woodbine.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
City Man is running in fourth. Then comes Domestic Spending, who will make a wide move into the stretch here. And they're all going after Tribhuvan, who still leads here. Domestic Spending is moving up on the outside into second. Tribhuvan, Domestic Spending, trying to reel him in. Domestic Spending and Tribhuvan. And here is Domestic Spending to take the lead in deep stretch and win the Grade 1 Resorts World Casino Manhattan. Pace setter Tribhuvan was second, and Gufo came from last to get third.
Johnny I on the Manhattan. It was all Domestic Spending. We'll see if he can win the Mr. D, formerly the Arlington Million, tomorrow out at Arlington. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Before we get back into the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Multiple graded stakes winner, Rocketry, retired. Multiple graded stakes winner, Rocketry, a son of Hardspun with earnings of more than $811,000 and three track records to his credit, has been retired, according to an August 13th announcement from Centennial Farms. Bred by Gainsway Thoroughbreds, Rocketry commanded $195,000 as a weanling at the Keeneland November breeding stock sale when acquired by McMahon and Hill Bloodstock. He then hammered for $450,000 as part of the following September consignment. Like so many Centennial stars before him, Rocketry received his early education under Parsons and her team at Middleburg Training Center. He would truly become his own as a four-year-old. The continued maturity coincided with an increased fondness for dirt. He made the transition to the main track in September 2018. The switch resulted in a performance in the Temperance Hill Invitational Stakes that is unlikely to be matched. He stopped the clock in 2:40 flat, breaking Man of War's 98-year-old Belmont Park track record for a mile and 5/8. Man of War. I did not stutter. That wraps up tonight's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus is available through BloodHorse.com and provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Blood Horse branded weekly programming that showcases the thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recaps recent stakes races, and behind-the-scenes videos and interviews. You can join with no risk and no obligation. Try Blood Horse Plus for free for 30 days. Use promo code FREEMONTHJA. That's one word, FREEMONTHJA. No spaces. It's good through August 31st for new Blood Horse Plus monthly members. Yeah, good old Rocketry ran around here for a long time. Glad to see he's retired. Seems to have lost a step the last couple of years. Out of Arlington, the Pucker Up goes as race number six. It's an all stakes. Well, it was a late pick five with mostly the four graded stakes for the day out in the Chicagoland area. And it wraps up with the Black Tie Affair, a state bred stakes race. So it's an all stakes pick five. The Pucker Up is for 3 year old fillies. It's a grade three. At a mile and an eighth, field of eight. Chad Brown won all four graded stakes in 2019 before the pandemic forced a cancellation of the festival last year. He'll try to win the first graded stakes back on Millions Day with Shantasara for Flavian, for Mike Dubb and others. Flavian Pratt, the source, finished second to Porque No over in her U.S. debut in the Boiling Springs at Monmouth Park.
Didn't have the cleanest of trips that day either, and wasn't really close to the winner. Porque No ended up about 4.5, 5 lengths behind that runner, but still not a clean trip. Just a question of whether or not you think that she'll run better second time off the layoff and second time in this country. I thought number one, Oyster Box, was the safer way to go in this spot. I don't know if she's the most talented filly in the field. I think she's as talented as any of the other ones in this race, coming off a fourth place finish in the grade three regret at this mile and an eighth distance at Churchill Downs. She was very wide into the stretch and still only beaten a length and a half, just only three quarters of a length behind Flown, who may end up being the favorite in this race. I thought there were several who could win here, but I like the inside post and I like the progression of number one, Oyster Box, so I'm going to put her on top.
Oyster Box for Bobby. I thought Shantasara, with some improvement, would get the money in here. I also think she'll be a little bit closer to the pace. Flavian Pratt's going to pick up the mount after the poor break. I think she just lost some position last time. I think Shantasara is going to be tough. The other horse that I wanted to take a little bit of a look at was She's a Mystery, who could be the speed in here. She's trying turf for the first time. She's by Verrazano out of a pulpit mare. I have no reason to believe she won't handle it. 3-6 for me, Shantasara over She's a Mystery. Race 6 goes to the grade 3, Pucker Up. The grade 1, Beverly D, goes as race number 7. A mile and 3/16 on the turf. A field of just 7. Santa Barbara, 3-year-old filly for Aidan O'Brien and Coolmore, came in to win the Belmont Oaks Invitational. She'll take on the older, more accomplished mare, Mean Mary.
And how many of these has Chad Brown won in a row?
Is it five?
I think it's five, and he certainly has a chance with La Mista in this spot, 5-1 on the morning line. But that's his only runner in the Beverly D. So maybe the streak comes to the end. I know this. If Santa Barbara runs tomorrow the way she ran in the Belmont Oaks Invitational, she's going to be really tough to beat. She beat Cone Lima that day. Cone Lima came back and won impressively last week at Saratoga. So good effort there. Obviously facing her elders. She's run against her elders in the past. In fact, at the Cura, the one time she ran against fillies and mares in a group one, she was only beaten a neck in a field of eight. So I'm not concerned with the fact that she is facing elders. I think that she has the best closing kick, and despite the fact that Mean Mary might find herself on a lonely lead again, you know, it's not guaranteed she'll be lonely on the lead. Naval Laughter can show speed at times. Even Oh So Terrible with the blinkers added could show speed. But I think Santa Barbara's closing kick is something that Mean Mary hasn't faced lately, and I'm going to take Santa Barbara to get her second straight win.
I'm going to go back to Chad Lemister. Lemister gets the Lasix, and she ran like a horse that bled last time. Never involved, dull around there, lost some ground at the end of the race. I'm going to try Lemister. I think you bring up good points about Navy Laughter putting some pressure on Mean Mary. Mean Mary's really had some cushy, cushy trips. I didn't love Santa Barbara's race as much as you did. I'll tell you what, I think Naval Laughter maybe be the one to inherit Mean Mary. I think it's those two. I think it's Lemister and Naval Laughter. I'm going to focus on those two. Hope, you know, you're playing multi-race wagers. You hope for the bigger price. The morning line has Lemister a higher price than Naval Laughter. I don't know if that's going to happen. I would imagine Chad Brown and Fabian Pratt are going to get more money than Christopher Davis and Sophie Doyle, but that's just my opinion. Lemister over Naval Laughter for me, race number 7. Goes as the Beverly D. Race 8, the Bruce D. This is formerly the Secretariat. 300,000, grade 1, a mile for the 3-year-olds. Point by me is 3-1, the number 6, Freddie Keneally and Louis Saez. Tango, Tango, Tango. The 2 won the local prep for this, even though it's a mile on the 16th, and this race is a mile. I'll tell you what, Bobby, you could throw a blanket over this bunch.
It's true, but I'm actually against the morning line favorite, Tango, Tango, Tango. I didn't love his effort in the American Derby. Even though he won by 2 lengths that day, I'm not really sure what he beat that afternoon. And I think he's going to have to run a lot better to beat this field. I think Point Me By is very, very tough to beat in this spot. Both of his efforts at Churchill and Saratoga, respectively, were very good. One sprinting run routing. I see no reason he can't improve. The other horse I'm going to use with Point Me By is a little bit of, now I don't know if in the Big A dictionary if this is a wild card or a fuzzy. So, but number 9, Like a Salt Shaker for Larry Ravelli and E.T. Baird. Larry Ravelli seemingly wins every horse that he starts at Arlington. Interesting that Like a Salt Shaker has only raced once on the turf. It was last year in the Awad at Belmont on a yielding turf course. He was only beaten 3/4 of a length that day, well clear of the rest of the field, finishing 2nd. He hasn't been on the turf since then. They tried to get him on the turf once at Parks, and it was rained over to the main track. But other than that, he's been on conventional dirt. He's been on synthetic surface. I think this is a turf horse. And I thought that race last year in the Awad was pretty good, especially for a 2-year-old. If he's even better now as a 3-year-old than he was, you know, as a 2-year-old on the turf, this is a horse that has a chance, and he's 12-1 on the morning line. I'm going to play 6s and 9s, pressing with number 6, Point Me By.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's a fuzzy, or do you think it's a wild card?
I'm going to say this is a wild card.
Incorrect.
Darn it.
This is a fuzzy because this horse has a representative. This horse has a good turf race on his card. In fact,
so wait a minute. The wild card is we're guessing that the horse could be different.
New
in a,
surface,
in a way.
Yeah. The blinkers.
The fuzzy is there's buried form in there.
Yeah, fuzzy is like that. I mean, how's this horse going to be? If you really dissect this field, and I'm saying this because he's my pick. I like this horse because I'm like you. I don't like Tango, Tango, Tango. There's a pick 5 and there's a pick 4. I can tell you definitively, if Tango, Tango, Tango wins, I lose. I will not have any Tango, Tango, Tangos on my tickets. I will have Ginsburg in the 4. I will have Point Me By the 6. I will have, like a Salt Shaker, my top pick, the 9. That race in the Awad was very, very good. And I don't know what has taken so long to get the. And this is a guy that runs horses. This guy's run 200 horses on the turf in the last year and a half. I have no clue what's taken so long to get back. So I like a Salt Shaker. I told you I'm going to use him with the 6 and the 4. That's Ginsburn and Point by Me, like a Salt Shaker top pick. Race number 8 goes as the Bruce D., Mr. D., race 9, mile and a quarter, 600,000 on the line. Field of 10. They got 9 to run against domestic spending. I don't know how. From what we've seen in his last 2 starts, namely that Manhattan last time out, man, they're going to have to come up with some Herculean effort to beat him tomorrow.
I agree completely. His last 2 starts are monstrous. They're faster than you almost ever see for long-distance turf horses. And the other thing that's just amazing is every horse who finishes behind him comes back and wins in their next start. Gufo, Tribhuvan, Smooth Like Straight, all different parts of the country. Don't have to deal with domestic spending, right to the winner's circle. He's by far the best in this race, other than possibly number 9 Armory, who I don't think is as talented as domestic spending. But he's the only one that has, I think, any chance of beating him, and I put that at a very small chance. He's been doing very little wrong over in Europe against the best there are over there. He finished only a length and a half behind Love. We all know the reputation that Love has had for about the last year and a half or so. I don't know if Armory can beat domestic spending. If he can't, nobody can.
I couldn't have said it better myself, my man. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. If anybody beat, and I don't think this horse is anywhere near as good as domestic spending, but if somebody does, it'll be him. Domestic spending for me as well. Race number 9 goes as the Mr. D. Grade 1, 600,000 on the line. Best of luck to you folks out there in Chicago. Sorry to see what's happened out there, but hopefully there's a miracle somewhere in the future for you folks. We wish you the best of luck. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're just about halfway home here on this Friday evening. We come back. We'll head out to Del Mar. And we'll turn our attention to Sunday. Plenty of action Sunday at Del Mar, Saratoga, Woodbine, and Ellis Park. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
They're a quarter of a mile from home. Charmaine's Mia and Keeper of the Stars, joined by Maxim Raid on the outside. Going to Vegas is next. And then La Senyare, they're in the final furlong. And Charmaine's Mia has been overhauled. On the outside, Maxim Raid, center of the course. Here's La Senyare finishing strongly, and so too Bodicita. It's Maxim Raid close to home. La Senyare, a final try. Maxim Raid has won the game lead. La Senyare was second. Bodicita third, and then Keeper of the Stars.
Welcome back. Weekend Stakes Preview. Presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN. Head over to NairaBetts.com to open an account. HRRN200, the promo code. Bet200, get 200. Actually, bet 400, get 200. They'll deposit match up to $200 of your initial deposit. Run Happy Travers Bankroll Builder, bet 50 to win on a horse tomorrow in the four-star Dave. Win or lose, get $20 in your account for Run Happy Travers Day, Saturday, August 28th. Fantastic. Fun for all of those promotions. Love the Bankroll Builders there. Naira does them throughout the year, and I'm a big fan. All right, let's head over to Del Mar. We'll hit you with back-to-back Del Mar races, one Saturday, one Sunday. The CTT and DOC, 80,000 on the line, about a mile and three-eighths on the turf. For the fillies and mares, a field of eight. My girl, Cristal, making her second start out west for trainer Peter Miller and Gary Barber. Neige Blanche, who won an impossible photo in the Santa Barbara. That was a great photo to win. Tap Water will take some money. This, you know, Bobby, of the races we handicapped this weekend, there may not be a ton of star power in this race, but this was one of the more difficult races, I thought, to handicap that we had on the program.
I agree completely. And by the way, I'm going to guess that Neige Blanche owes you no money, my friend.
Neige Blanche owes me nothing. In fact, if I can find Lenny Powell, I should probably send her some sort of a basket of carrots or some peppermints or something, whatever she's needed. That was one of the greatest photos I have ever won in my life. It was for a good deal of money, but the way that horse won that photo was just absolutely impossible.
So I don't have a very strong opinion in the race. The filly that, or rather the mare that Neige Blanche photoed back on May 8th in the Santa Barbara was Ride for the Cause. Ride for the Cause came back and got her revenge on Neige Blanche in the ungraded Possibly Perfect in their next start, going back to a mile and a quarter. This race right in between them. One of them was a mile and a half. One's a mile and a quarter. This one a mile and three-eighths. Ride for the Cause has never raced on the turf at Del Mar, although she's worked over it several times. I think she's a little more consistent than some of the other runners in this field. Mike McCarthy is having a very nice meet so far at Del Mar. He's had 25 starters. 11 of them have been first or second. And I think Ride for the Cause will fire a big shot in the CTT and TOC Stakes, which, by the way, stands for California Thoroughbred Trainers and Thoroughbred Owners of California Stakes. Couldn't they just call it the Horseman Stakes or the Owner Trainers? I mean,
it's a clown show. It's a complete clown show out there.
I'm not downgrading those two organizations. I'm just saying it was not the most creatively named stake in their honor.
Everybody has to have their thumbprint on things. It's ridiculous. So this is entirely a jockey play. Red Lark gets Hall of Famer Mike Smith in the boot. Mike Smith rode Tapwater for Richard Mandela, who was the favorite in Nasunitas last time out. He winds up on Red Lark. Red Lark's a grade one winner. She won the Del Mar Oaks last year. I think that's important because her two races at Del Mar, and while her speed figures don't tell the same story, her two races at Del Mar were her two best races. She just missed an allowance race where she ran out of real estate, and then she won the Del Mar Oaks at the mile and an eighth. Well, now she gets a mile and three-eighths. And Her mile and a quarter race in the Santa Ana, I thought was a good effort when you think about the fact that the dog was just walked on the front end. I mean, when do you see 114, Bobby, out in Southern California? You just don't see it, right? Well, she caught it twice. It happened to her in the American Oaks as well when Duopoly got on an impossible lead and nobody moved. She actually just got beat three lengths that day. And I think Patty Gallagher has been looking to stretch her out. Now, not the numbers some of the other ones like McCarthy have, but Patty Gallagher 3-for-10 going into the weekend. So he's been winning with limited bullets out where the turf meets the surf. And I think this filly stretching out, getting Mike Smith, I think she's dangerous. I like Red Lark. It's an interesting race. But I like Red Lark to take the CTT and TOC. Out of mile and 3/8 on the turf. That's Saturday at Del Mar. We'll stay at Del Mar. The Solana Beach goes as the Sunday feature. Flat mile on the turf. Again, this is for the state bred fillies. Who do you like here?
By the way, Solana Beach is the town just north of Del Mar, so like one exit further up the 405, or the 5, rather. I'm going to stick with Old Faithful here, Warren Showtime, who fires a good shot every time she goes to the races. She's won on the turf at Del Mar. She's coming off a nice win in the Wilshire. I think she's going to have some speed to chase once again, and I don't mind the outside post. I think Warren Showtime with the last run gets her back-to-back wins.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to get past her. I'm going to give Legs Galore one more chance. She was able to turn the tables on Warren Showtime in the Franz Valentine, then in the Wilshire last time out. Warren Showtime got her. I'm going to hope Cassie Legs Galore can just keep going tomorrow. The other filly makes a lot of sense, but I'm going to try Legs Galore one more time on Sunday from post two. That's the Solana Beach. It goes as race number 7. Back here at Saratoga on Sunday, the Galway is for 3-year-old fillies. It's 5.5 furlongs on the turf. We get a field of 10. There's a couple of, there's a main track only. There's an also eligible and a main track only. So there's 12. 10 will run. A wide open four. The 7 going good is 3-1 for Brad Cox and Tyler Gaffleone. She's your morning line favorite.
I think she's going to get a good trip in this spot. I'm not even sure she'll be favored, even though she is on the morning line, but she's my top pick. Lots of speed in here. Wink is fast. Dr. B is fast. Mischiefful is fast. Illegal Smile is fast. I think that Going Good, although she can show speed, has shown that she can actually pass other horses, and that's going to be in her favor. I think she sits just in behind the early speed, and she's the one first to attack at the top of the stretch.
I want Bye Bye and Star Divine in here. Bye Bye and Star Divine finished a length apart in the Soaring Softly. Now, Star Divine broke her maiden first out very impressively. Stormed home, 107-4 for 6 furlongs at Aqueduct. She came back and she was on top of the pace. I think this filly wants to be allowed to sit back and rip. And there's some speed in here, like you mentioned. So Star Divine, Bye Bye, Joel Rosario, Christophe Clement, she just finds her trip. And in a race that's packed with speed, you got to figure Joelle's going to get her in behind. She cuts back from that mile. She wanted nothing to do with the mile in the wild applause because she had a pretty – she was in front. She had to pay the price to get in front, and she just fell apart late. I think that's going to tighten her up nicely for this. I like Bye Bye. I like Star Divine. I'll use a little Going Good. Those are the three I want to focus on. But I thought Bye Bye and Star Divine offered a little value in here. I'll put them 1-2. In race number 9 on Sunday at Saratoga, the Galway. Finally, before we go to break, at Woodbine, the Grade 2 King Edward is at a flat mile, 175,000 on the line. This is on the outer course, so it's a one-turn mile. Jolie Olympica going to take on the boys again. She finished third in the San Simeon at Santa Anita back in March. She'll try the boys again in her second start for Josie Carroll. She won her local debut in the Nassau, amazingly, was 8-5. I don't know how, but she was, and she'll take on the boys here going that same mile.
I think it's a significantly more difficult field as far as competition goes for Jolie Olympica. I think she'll have to run better than she did last time out, and I don't know if she will. I'm going to take the defending champ, last year's King Edward winner, March to the Arch. to win once again. He has raced four times on the turf at Woodmine, three wins, including that win in the King Edward last year, one second place finish. Plenty of early pace in this race. I think he will be rolling home for Patrick Husbands.
So you won't march to the arch. Yeah, he's, you know, I've always wondered about him because even the mile and an eighth, that's a one-turn race. His one-turn races, I think that could be the key to this horse. Turns might not be his friend. He's won around turns, but turns might not be his friend. I was with you. I thought there was a nice little setup in here for him. I think you have to respect Jolie Olympica. Valid Point's going to make his first start for trainer Graham Motion. This might be the most impossible grade one winner of all time. Chad Brown got this horse the grade one winner in the Secretariat in 2019. Virtually impossible. I'm with you. March to the Arch. I think the one turn's the key. I'll use Jolie Olympica as well. On Sunday, race eight goes as the grade two, King Edward at Woodbine. We'll take one more break. We'll come back with some Ellis Park action. We'll also tell you about the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. That comes your way tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. with the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Racing is back at Colonial Downs July 19th through September 1st with top-class racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Large fields and premier dirt and turf courses will give bettors plenty of opportunities for great value and big payouts, and horsemen will love the average purses of $500,000 per day. With a beefed-up stakes schedule and generous guarantees for owners and trainers, Colonial Downs is the place to race and wager this summer. Learn more at colonialdowns.com.
Championship racing is at legendary Pimlico Racecourse. Watch and wager as Maryland's best compete in a Saturday Summer Stakes campaign worth nearly $1.5 million in purses, culminating on August 21st with a salute to all things Maryland at the Maryland Pride Maryland Strong Celebration. The Pimlico meet offers live racing Friday through Sunday with a regular post time of 12:40 p.m. Visit the track or catch the live stream at pimlico.com.
The 86th running of the Grade 3 Long Acres Mile is this Sunday, August 15th at Emerald Downs. Post time is 5:46 Pacific Time. It's the biggest race in the Pacific Northwest, and this year's field includes 2019 runner-up Any Port in a Storm, last year's second-place finisher Five-Star General, and the speedy local star Papa's Golden Boy. It should be a great betting race, and remember that all superfectas at Emerald Downs have just a 15% takeout. Don't miss the Long Acres Mile this Sunday from Emerald Downs.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Three quarters, 10-3, and it's Art Collector who shoulder the load, and Art Collector will whip him on in the run-happy Ellis Park Derby. He's off the turn with a length lead. Attachment Rate still fighting hard from second back into third. It's Dean Martini and Necker Island down the center of the track, tried and hit, but with a 16th left to go, it's the favorite, Art Collector. Art Collector, he won the Bluegrass, and now he's going to add the Ellis Park Derby.
Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Big A. Anthony Stabile, that's me. Bobby Newman is out in Altoona, Iowa, as we get you set for a fantastic weekend of racing. And, of course, we'll get that weekend underway tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. The Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, comes your way at 8 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201, horseracingradio.net. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott talks about his contenders in Saturday's Saratoga Special and four-star Dave. Arlington's leading trainer Larry Ravelli joins us as he prepares to settle his first Arlington Million / Mr. D starter. John G. Dooley, the voice of Arlington, reflects upon his 21 years in the booth at the Chicago track. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires handicaps the Beverly D. Arlington Million, and more. We go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with game changer Dora Delgado. Plus, In the Room with Sean Clancy, a stroll through racing history with Kurt Becker, presented by Lane Zinn and Keeneland, and our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. It's the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, Sirius 219, XM 201, stream it live worldwide on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. All right, three Ellis Park Stakes we will cover on Sunday. Audubon Oaks goes the run. Happy Audubon Oaks, race 5, starts the late pick 4, 100,000 on the line, going 7 furlongs. It's a field of 7. Who do you like, Bobby?
Well, I'm going to go to Caribbean Caper to remain undefeated. I like the fact that her wins have come stalking the pace, so she should be able to lay right off who may be her main foe in Magic Quest, and really pick a time when she wants to go. I thought those two were kind of up and down for who were the better of the best of this field. I would use both of them in my horizontal plays, but I like Caribbean Caper a little bit more.
Caribbean Caper for Mr. Newman. A break from the 5-hole. Forever Boss gets the blinkers on for the first time. Cuts back. She's never been one turn. And I like betting horses like this that kind of have this sketchy form. I think her two dirt races are probably better than her turf form. Right, the dirt win came off the turf. The other dirt race was the Black Eyed Susan, which was a big performance from Army Wife. Went back to the turf last time. Now she cuts back. She gets the dirt again. She's got a stiff breeze, 47-1 over at Keeneland. A 48-3 as well. A pair of blinkers. I thought she was really interesting in here. Forever Boss. I'm going to use her as number 3. She's going to be a big price. Race 5 goes as the Run Happy Audubon Oaks. There's an allowance race in the middle of the stakes races for the for that late pick 4. Race 7 is the Run Happy Ellis Park Derby. A mile and an eighth. That's once around down Ellis Park Way. Just a field of 6 in here. Got a grade 1 winner, though. Super Stock took the Arkansas Derby down at Oak Lawn Park over Caddo River and Concert Tour. He went to the Kentucky Derby after that, the Texas Derby after that, the Iowa Derby after that, and guess what? He liked that Arkansas one better than the rest. He has not run a step in his last 3 starts, my friend.
No, and I think it's fair to say that the Arkansas Derby this year came up much lighter than in normal years. I'm going to take a little stab with number 4, There Goes Harbord, for Mike McCarthy and Joe Talamo. Horse has been running on the turf at Ellis Park his last 2 starts, and both good efforts, but he had run on the dirt prior to that in Southern California and Kentucky, and although he hadn't won any of those races, he was running good efforts. I think he may be a better horse now than he was back then, and I know he can handle the dirt. He may be a decent price. I think a mile and an eighth is his biggest question mark.
Yeah, I couldn't take Super Stock in here either. I just couldn't do it. I just lost my PPs. I couldn't take Super Stock in here. Because like you said, that was that did not turn out to be a good field. I mean, Caddo Rivers had nothing. Concert Tour we haven't seen. Caddo Rivers had nothing but problems. I mean nothing but problems. Sermon on a Mount can win. I guess There Goes Harvard. I guess if you don't like Superstock, any of them can win. Colonel Bauman won over the course by curling out of Dubai Escapade. Draws the inside. Won out of the weird shoot from the outside draw, which always impresses me. And they finally got this horse, Brad Cox, did getting this horse going long. I mean, his pedigree, curling out of an awesome again there, you would think that there's going to be more ground in his future in 3 6 furlong races, a 6.5 furlong race, and a 7 furlong race. And they finally got into the mile, and now they're going to get a mile and eighth. I like Colonel Bauman. I'm trying him. Race number 7 goes as the Run Happy Ellis Park Derby, 200,000 on line, mile and an eighth over the main track. The Groupie Doll, a mile out of that chute for the fillies and mares. Big field in here. This guy even got an AE in here. So 12 with an AE. And this is a race that, man, I think a half a dozen of these could win.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. This is one where, you know, I'm going to make a pick, and I'm not even, you know, I don't think that she's better or worse than, like you said, a half a dozen others in here. So I don't have the morning line in front of me. I'm going to try number 7, New Rue, for Tom Drury and Colby Hernandez, coming off a nice win, going one turn mile at Churchill against Allowance Bowes last time out. She's raced twice at Ellis Park in her career, one win, one second-place finish. That second-place finish was in this race last year. In fact, the first three finishers, Lady Kate, New Rue, Iston Council, all back to renew acquaintances in the Groupie Doll in 2021. New Rue is a mare that can be forwardly placed, but she has races in her past performances where she can sit two or three, four lengths back and make a run. I like that sort of flexibility that Colby Hernandez will have, and I think she's in good form and maybe getting back to her best form. I think her best races are actually the two races she ran at Ellis, so I'm going to try New Rue.
Yeah, this is one of those races where I thought Dream a Little Dream of You, the one, could win. I thought the 4, Iston Council, can win. She got a terrible ride by Joe Rocco and the Shawnee. She's run okay. If you throw out her wet track race, she's been pretty consistent. Grand Baby makes her second start in the country from her native Chile. Our boy Alex Achard comes in to ride Jungle Juice for Ana Mia. She ran well in her two prior starts before losing the rider at the start in the Clarksville, Indiana. Your New Rue comes off a career top. Why can't she win? A little bit of a fall from grace, I guess, has been Lady Kate, but her numbers at the mile. She has a win at Ellis Park in this race. I mean, she crop dusted these horses last year in this race. Josie, High Regard, Lady Rocket, they all kind of look the same. I think you need to take advantage of the horses off form. Right? I think you want the horses that are kind of in form. I went to Dream a Little Dream of You, who's down on the inside, who I think may have just been keeping better company. I mean, you look through her card. She's run 10 times, okay? 4 wins, 2 seconds, 3 thirds. Ton of consistency there. She runs behind Spices Knights and beats Get Rid of What Ails You in the Allaire DuPont. She won in the mud at the fairgrounds off the turf by almost 10 lengths. She won in the slop by 4.5 lengths. She's running behind Envoûtant, and again, beating Dream a Little. She runs behind Envoûtant. She runs behind Piece of My Heart. If you were to assess the class based on what company they kept, not based on the races they've run in, it would be her. So in a race where I can make a case for 8 of them, I'm going to go to the filly who I think is getting the class relief. And I think that's the number one, Dream a Little Dream of You. I'll try her. Race 8 goes as the groupie. All 14 in the books. Time now for the Naira Bets Best Bet.
This is the Naira Bets Best Bet.
Take it away, Bobby Newman.
Well, best bet is an interesting term. Do we want the best play or the most likely winner? I think there's no doubt about it. The most likely winner is in the former Arlington Million, now the Mr. D. Race 9 tomorrow at Arlington, number 3 domestic spending. I just don't see how you get around him. I know that it's a field of 10. To me, it's a field of 2 as far as who can win, domestic spending or Armory. And Armory is going to have to be really, really good to beat domestic spending. His last two races stand out. Boy, he's 6-5 on the morning line. I think I'd run to the window if you could guarantee me 6-5.
I hate to do it, but I'm in the same place. I'm going to take the free square because I just think he's way, way, way too good. Domestic spending for me, Naira Bet's best bet in that Arlington Million, really, this year, the Mr. D. Let's talk some Arlington memories, Bobby. Yeah, great minds think alike. Man, I've never been there for a million. I was there when I was 4 years old. I know it's a place you've spent some time at.
It's really a beautiful racetrack. I had the opportunity to live in the Chicago area for a little bit, lived and worked there, but went to Arlington many times and then was back there about a month ago it's an absolutely beautiful facility. Don't forget, this is a racetrack that had a fire and burned down in the mid-'80s and was rebuilt into what now is this just beautiful palace that's there with marble flooring on the inside and just a beautiful, you know, a beautiful outdoor racetrack. Not, you know, not all the behind glass in suites. I mean, they have those things there, but, you know, it's an outdoor summer racetrack where you're sitting outdoors, enjoying the elements, watching great races. Beautiful turf course there, nice paddock area, and obviously in a very nice part of town, and for many, many years had some of the best racing around. Things haven't worked out that well over the last few years, and obviously we know what's happened most recently. But Arlington is one of those places that, you know, a lot of people say is they think is the nicest racetrack they've ever visited. And these are people who may have been to Saratoga or may have been to Hialeah or may have been to Keeneland or may have been to Del Mar. Arlington's right up there with it as just a phenomenal place. And, of course, the Arlington Million itself, Anthony, was the first million-dollar race in this country. It began in 1981, John Henry getting the job done with Bill Shoemaker aboard for trainer Ron McAnally. Of course, John Henry came back in 1984 and won it again. Chris McCarron aboard that year. They ran four Arlington Millions. Think about this. Four Arlington Millions before there was ever one Breeders' Cup race run. So this was a big deal, the million-dollar race. And the million was a gigantic thing. Nowadays, you know, there's $20 million race in Saudi Arabia. The Pegasus for a while was a, or for at least 1 year, was a gigantically pursed race. The Dubai World Cup, the Breeders' Cup Classic, up to $6 million or whatever it is now. So, but Arlington was basically the first one. And we've seen a lot of great horses go through there, not just in the Arlington Million, a lot of all the other stake races they've had, local horses that are running for some great Chicago horsemen. And let's not forget there was a Breeders' Cup at Arlington many, many years ago, and maybe one of the most famous Breeders' Cup moments when Volpone got the job done. I believe he was around 45-1 in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Not only a big deal that a huge long shot won the Breeders' Cup Classic, but all the aftermath of the pick six scandal because of Volpone winning. Those people who were involved in that pick six scandal would never, ever have been caught if it were not for long shot Volpone getting the job done in that Breeders' Cup Classic.
And I'll tell you, you know, we think of Arlington, I think a lot of people think of the million. I'll give you two little tidbits about the place that people never speak. I had never hear them speak of them. After Secretariat won the Triple Crown, his very next race was at Arlington. Did you know that?
I did not.
He ran at Arlington after he won the Triple Crown. It was the only time. I think it was the only time in his three-year-old year, or only time he had won four in a row. I don't remember what it was, but he won. That was his race after the Breeders' Cup, and Cigar tied the record with 16 in the race at Arlington before going out to the Pacific Classic and getting beat by Darren Goh. So I mean, there's two dirt races that. You know, the place never ever gets, you think about the million in the festival, and the place never gets any recognition for that. But, yeah, you know, now with the all-weather in there for the last few years, it's understandable. But two of the, right, if you're a 60-year-old racing fan, two of the best horses you've ever seen are Cigar and Secretariat. And they both accomplished, you know, the race after the Triple Crown and tied the record for 16. Secretariat and Cigar, respectively. Good luck out there to you Chicago area horsemen and women. We wish you the best of luck. Great job as always, Bobby. We'll do this all again on Wednesday with Race Day.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Let's make some money.
All right. Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, comes your way tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201. Or you can stream them live here at horseracingradio.net. For Bobby Newman and Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Hope you have a lucky night. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Enjoy 4-Star Dave weekend. and Million Weekend at Arlington and the Spa.